I do apologize for the late start. There are some network issues, and I'm really crossing my fingers that they will be not interfering with the presentation which I have prepared. So let's start, okay? So this session is about CRM and mobility. My name is Juraj Moik. Can you see it? I'm. Yeah, my name is Juraj Moik. You cannot see it really, but I'm from a company called Resco. And we make a mobile application for dynamic CRM. And I will be talking about it. And I will be talking about how you can customize this mobile application for your needs. So here is the agenda of my presentation. There are basically just three parts. At first, I will show you the overview of the Resco Mobile CRM solution. Then I will continue with Woodford, which is how we call the customization tool. And you will see that this tool is really powerful and can do really a lot of customizations to the mobile application. And finally, I will show you quite a lot of customization scenarios or examples, what you can do with Woodford and how to customize the mobile application. So let's start with the solution overview. At first, I will start with an introduction of Resco, of the company. We are focusing on mobility and mobile development since 1999, so almost 14 years. And the thing why I'm telling you this is that we are not jumping on the mobility bandwagon only recently, but really the company is focusing on the mobility and the mobile development for a long time. And therefore, and maybe that's one of the reasons why our solution for dynamic CRM is now so popular. At the beginning, we were developing mobile application and games. Myself, I was one of the games developer initially, so that's what I was doing, but now I'm in the mobile CRM team. But we were also doing mobile development components, so things for the developers. And all of this was done mostly for the Windows Mobile or so-called Pocket PC platform. Not sure if you recall it, but maybe you do. From this era, we had Resco Mobile Forms Toolkit, which is a set of components for mobile development. This one is actually still sold. And actually, this one is also the foundation of the CRM, mobile CRM product. On the right side, you can see some of our 3,500 customers, which we have. I'm not saying they are using the mobile CRM solution. Some of them are, some of them not. Mostly, they are using the Mobile Forms Toolkit. So enough about Resco, and let's start talking about the mobile CRM offering. We have the mobile application for Microsoft Dynamics CRM. This application can be customized with customization tools. And as I said, this customization tool is called Woodford. Let's take a closer look at the application. It offers some of the CRM web application functionality on the mobile already. So, for example, something from the general sales module, accounts, contacts, orders, invoices, that's what you will find immediately in the out-of-the-box Resco application. We support following platforms: iOS, Androids, and Windows platforms like Windows tablets, so Windows 7 XP, Windows 8, Windows Phone 7 and 8, and Windows Mobile. You might have noticed there is no support for BlackBerry. This was an issue, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. People were asking us why we do not support it. But recently, BlackBerry has announced plans for seling the brand, so I don't think that's an issue anymore. Very important point is that we provide this application, the out-of-the-box, the standard application, for free on marketplaces and app stores. So even right now, when you are here, you can take your mobile phone, go onto the marketplace on App Store, and download the free application and start using it. How is that possible? I will explain it with the solution architecture. Our solution does not require any middleware or server-side component. There is virtually no setup on the server side. we connect directly to the CRM server through CRM web services. So actually the only requirement is that the web services are accessible for the mobile application. We support everything from the CRM 4.0 up, so 4.0, 2011, 2013, on-premise, online, whichever. More importantly, we have offline and online capability. What this does mean? When you are using the application in the online mode, then obviously you are accessing the data on the server directly. So for example, when you are editing an account or editing a contact, this is immediately done on the server. When you create new order, new order is immediately created on the server in the online mode. In the offline mode, there is a copy of data stored in the local database. This means that there is a process called synchronization, obviously, which basically gets the data from the server and stores it locally on the mobile device. And you can see it on the picture behind me that we have the client has some SQLite database where it stores the data, and then it really connects to the server just through the web services, and that's pretty much it. So the architecture, the solution is very, very simple, very, very lightweight. And now I think it's time for a little demo to show you the application. So enough talking and more showing. This one. So this is how the application looks on the iPad. This is the application in the standard mode, meaning that it's uncustomized. It's the one which you can download from the App Store of Apple. So now when I, here you can see that we have on the left side something we call home form, or basically these are the available items or elements in the mobile application. There are some special ones like dashboards, maps, and so on. There are obviously some entities like accounts, contacts, and a bunch more. When I click on the account, you see the list of all the accounts which are now available in the local database. And when I click on one of the accounts, you can see that there is a, form. At first, this one is showing some contact information like the address, phone number. And when I hit edit on the top, now I'm in the edit form where I can edit the information. Some of the entities do not have this, edit form, the contact form. So now you can see that when I click on delete, I immediately am editing the data. The same thing goes for the orders and so on. Okay, there are a couple of cool features, for example, about the lists. One thing is, here on the top, you can see that there is a small map icon, which when I click it, the list is immediately switched to a map. And while the accounts in my demo data have provided the latitude and longitude information, I can immediately see all these accounts on the map. Similar thing we have implemented with the charts. So on the orders, when I click on the chart button on top, you can see that now the list, so the orders which were shown on this list are now shown in the chart view. Okay. As for the forms, there are also a couple of interesting things, like you can see that we can view where exactly this this account is on the map. There are obviously some associated entities like contacts, orders, and more. But very interesting features we have implemented in the notes. So for example, I can take my iPad, and on the top you can see that there is a little photo icon or button. When I click it, I can see you guys, right? I can take a picture and use it. And now you can see that this picture was immediately attached as a note, so as an attachment of a note to this account. When I clear it, there is automatically a signature capturing, so without, without anything, the attachment tab works as a signature capture tab. So when I, you know, write something on the screen, it's captured as a signature. And also this can be used for the documents attachment. So if I have attached a PDF, Office documents or everything, it could be opened. It depends on the platform. On the iOS, I could be opening the PDF or the Word document directly within the application. For example, on the Android, it depends if I have a reader installed, and if I do, then I can view the attached document in this external application. Okay, so that's for the standard entities, but now let's take a look at the special items, like the dashboard. Okay, let me close this. So we have a very simple dashboard. These are mobile dashboards, so not the same thing as you know from the CRM web application. This one is basically a grid containing a bunch of elements. These elements can be set up with the Woodford customization tool. Here, in the standard application, there are some orders chart, opportunities chart, and cases chart. That's what the initial setup there is. But with Woodford, you can customize this a little bit. Then we have the map. In the standard application, it's showing, as you can see here on the top, it's showing accounts, contacts, and leads, all of them on the map. Again, with Woodford, you can customize this and add your custom entities. We use latitude and longitude information. So this one would need to be provided for the entities for them to be shown on the map. Then we have calendar, which offers basically three types of views. This is a month view. Let me quickly find where in the demo data I do have some appointments. I think here somewhere they should be. They are represented by a dot, so yeah, here. So here you can see that on the month view, when there is an appointment, there is a dot. When I click on the day with this appointment, you can see that there are now displayed like this in the list. Or I can switch to a day view. So here you can see that I have the appointments with their times displayed, or similarly on the week view. I can create a new appointment just by tapping and holding. So this way I can create a new one. So let's call it a test. And the similar way I can, you know, reschedule the appointment. So this is basically the standard functionality. There are some entities, accounts, contacts, leads, and so on. There are some special items. What I wanted to show you is also how the application is synchronized, because this is now the offline mode. So here you can see that all I have to do is provide the URL of my server. I'm synchronizing with a test server, which I have created for this demo. Here I have put the username, password, and just click on the sync button on the top. And now it's synchronizing. I have synchronized it before, so now it will be very fast. There is one new record which I have created. It's the appointment, so that's the only thing which has been sent. What I can do, I can go into the setup, and here I can delete the actual local data, which means that now when I start, I can show you that here now there are no accounts and so on. So here when I start the synchronization process, now it should take a little bit longer because it will be downloading all the entities from the server. So you can see that there is quite a lot of them. But still, it's quite fast. Yeah, and that's it. Now I have all the data in here. But I can also switch to the online mode to work with the data on the server directly, which is basically here in the top left corner, the icon. Now you can see it's a little bit in blue, which means that now I'm working with the online data. So now you can see it's really fetching the data from the server And now if I'm going to modify this, it's going to modify the entity instance on the server. What I want to show you now is that, let me switch back to my computer. We have also the same application for different platforms, and I really want to show you that it's actually the same application. I guess, again, we have some cutting on the side, but it doesn't really matter. This is how the application looks like on the Windows 7 platform. I have to say that Windows 7 platform is not the one which is really, making money for us, so I do apologize for the way how it looks. But still, what you can see is that it's basically the same thing. It looks a bit different, but it's basically the same thing. Here you have, again, the elements. And when I click on something, I have the list. Then I have the form. Again, there are some dashboards, maps, and so on. What I wanted to illustrate with this is that for the different platforms which we support, we have the same functionality, or 99%. There are some slight differences, but most of the functionality is the same. And the look is really, doesn't really matter. And the look is slightly different. So that's the only thing. So for all the platforms, we have the same functionality. Okay. And only a slightly different look. So this was the application. This was the standard application, which can be downloaded for free. Now let's take a look at the customization tool, because obviously you guys know that every installation of the Dynamics CRM is different, and you want the mobile application to somehow represent this customization which was done on the server. And this is done using the Woodford tool. It's used to customize the standard application, but it's also an administration tool. There are a lot of administration features which even resemble something like mobile device management. We have a standalone version, which I will be using during my demo, but there is also an integrated version which you can integrate directly into your CRM server. The customizations, so basically what you perform with the Woodford tool, is stored directly on the CRM server. And this is a very cool thing, because when the user synchronizes the mobile applications, these customizations are automatically applied. So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do some redeployment or manual updating of the application. All that is necessary to be done is that the user will synchronize the mobile application with your server, and the new version, new customization, is immediately applied. I will show you that in a minute. Another cool thing about Woodford is that the customizations are platform independent. So basically, once you create something with Woodford, once you customize something, it's applied on all the platforms, and you don't need to create special version for iOS, special version for Android. That's not really necessary. It's platform independent. Here is a list of features which we have in Woodford, and it's not a definitive list, just a couple of the most important ones, like the application setup, where you basically set up for which roles and which entities and fields which will be available. So basically, you can have a different application for the salespeople in the field and different mobile application for the managers. You can select different entities, different fields, and even create completely different UI for these two roles. Obviously, you can design application UI, so create lists, forms, and even set up dashboards, calendars, maps, so the special items which you have seen. You can also define business logic, and for that we have form rules, and I will show you a couple of examples of this. But also there's a way how to incorporate JavaScript to create some sort of a business logic. Again, I will show you some examples of this as well. We also offer some branding options. So if you want to change the text within an application so it does not say Resco Mobile CRM, but your custom application, that's also possible. And it's also possible to customize the images within the application. Even more, you can create custom UI with the offline HTML functionality. and I will be demoing this in a minute. There are some other things like localizations or GPS tracking, which you can see on the screenshot on the right. This is how basically the GPS tracking looks when you have set it up with Woodford, and now you are checking it with the CRM web application. As you can see, there is a map showing some points, which basically represents some actions like the mobile user was working with the mobile CRM application. And he was moving and, I don't know, creating accounts, modifying some contacts, and so on. And for all these actions, the date and time and GPS position was tracked. And when the user has synchronized, this data entered CRM, and now you can view them even on the map. This functionality needs to be set up with Woodford, so it's not enabled by default. But as you can see, it can be quite powerful and very useful thing. Okay, so now I will be showing a couple of demos with Woodford. So let's hope that the connection will be working for me. Can you see the Woodford thing? Can you? So the first thing I will do, I will create a project. My role is administrator, so I will call it admin project, but the important thing is here I can select the roles for which I'm creating the mobile customization. As you can see, I can select multiple of the roles, but currently I have only one user, which is the system administrator, so this is okay for now. Great, the network is working. So here is my project, so I will open it. The first thing I'm going to do is add an entity. This is probably one of the first things you will be doing when you will be customizing the application with Woodford. And it's very simple. All I have to do is select an entity. As you can see, this one is grayed out, which means it's not enabled for this role in the mobile application. And I will hit enable. Simple as that. Now the mobile application will contain the competitor entity. So I have to go onto the home form, which is the first panel of the application, and put competitor. I will put competitor on the very top so we will see it has been added. Now I will hit save, and I will publish the mobile customization, so the mobile project. Perfect, my project was published. So let's switch to the iPad, and let's synchronize. Okay, application was updated. This means that there is a new customization made with Woodford and it has been automatically applied. So this is what I actually wanted to see. And here are the competitors. Yeah, I haven't put them on really on the top. I can see it now. There were some components hidden, but never mind. They are here. And when I click, you can see that there is a list of competitors. Actually, you can see that this list is very simple. It contains only the primary name, and that's it. And also, when I click it, nothing happens. So let's customize this project a bit more with Woodford. Okay, I will put the competitors on the very top, so I have them there. And let's start with creating a view. And I'm not going to create the view from scratch, but I'm going to import a view. And importing a view means that I'm importing the view from the CRM. So it detects which are the views for competitors. And here is the list of them. And when I select all competitors, it will tell me that there are some fields missing. Why is that? Because I have to go here in the field section. And here you can see that, I'll make it bigger. Here you can see that only some of the fields are enabled by default, which are the fields which we require for the mobile application to run correctly. But obviously I need more things. So let's start adding things like city, country, let's see what we have. Definitely street, website, zip code. And let's also put there things like telephone, okay, latitude and longitude. So bunch of fields I have selected. Only these fields for this entity will be synchronized to the mobile application. So only these fields will be available to work with in the mobile application. So let's hit save. And now let's hit import and add all competitors. Okay, now it's working. Here are different types of views. I will get to that in a minute, but I'm okay with public view for now. And when I double click it, I can see the designer of this view. When I'm importing a view, this is just, you know, using the very trivial look where it will put primary name on top and then the rest of the fields underneath. So it's not really taking the look of the view from CRM, just the data definition. So here I can select more fields, like I want to have city also on the view available, and I will put the city on the view. So let's redesign this view a bit. As you can see, it's simple as dragging and dropping. So just, you know, change the anchors. So when, for example, the resolution is different, it will be anchored, this field will be, or this cell will be anchored to the right. I can also change styles. I can even create my own styles, but for now on, I'm gonna go with predefined right gray style. And that's basically it. I just wanted to add the city field on my view. So let's save and close this. And I think that's all I wanted to show you then, yeah. So now let's hit publish and see this in the mobile application. So let's synchronize. Okay, so let's see. Here now on the competitors, you can see that this view now looks a bit different. Now it has the primary name as before, but now you can see there is the website and the city as I have defined previously. Still, when I click on the competitor, there is nothing happening. That's because there is no form defined in the customization. But first, before I will create the form, I will create one more view, because you can have definitely multiple views. And this one will be called Detroit Competitors. I'm cloning the old competitors view, so it will have the same look. But now I will hit Edit Filter. And here you can define the data subset of this view. So I will basically just add a condition that the city needs to be equal to Detroit. And simple as this, I have created one more view, which will be showing just the competitors from Detroit. So let's synchronize. Okay. And now here on the top, when I click on the competitors, you can see there is small all competitors written underneath. And there I can choose from the different views. I can even create something like advanced find within the mobile application. But for now, I will show you the Detroit competitors. So as you can see on the city cell, we can see that that one is from Detroit. And when I switch back to the all competitors, obviously I see all of them. Still no form, so let's go and fix that thing. So here I will create a new form and I will create a new edit form. Again, the designer is very similar, very straightforward, where you just add the fields. So when I click here, you can see that I can start adding things like name. Let's put here also the website, maybe telephone. Yeah, let's put it here. And on the address tab, I will start putting things like obviously city, country, zip, street one. And let's put there also latitude and longitude. I can even put spacers, which are used for, you know, better clarity on the forms. So just like this, I have created two tabs, one with the general information and one with the address information. But I can even add more tabs. Basically, I can start with the notes list. So here on the right, you can see that I have all the associated entities. Currently, only notes can be associated to competitors. So there is only notes list, but I will put it on the form. So this is the third tab. But I can add more things like iframe or map. So let's start with the map. You can see that latitude and longitude is automatically pre-filled. So these fields will be used to show the competitor's position. But there I can also add an iframe. An iframe is a very useful thing within Woodford. And for now, I will show you how to add, you know, external URL. And this URL will be to Google. So something like google.com. And now I will tell the Google to search. And to search for a query, which is like this, in the curly brackets, its name. And in fact, this will be then in runtime in the application replaced with the name field, which means with the name of the competitor. Now when I hit OK, this tab was added on the form. But you can see that if in the curly brackets I will put something which is not a field and hit OK, Woodford automatically detects that, okay, this is not a field. You cannot put that one in the URL. So definitely you will see that this one will be showing Google search for the name of the competitor. We can also add one more thing, which is the signature tab. This one is basically, as you have seen on the notes, where you can capture signature. This one allows you to capture signature directly without the need to go into the node form, create a new node, and save the attachment and so on. So let's put it on there. And I think I'm pretty okay with this form. So let's save it and publish it, and let's check it out in the mobile application. So now we have the form, and it's exactly how I have designed it. There is some name, website, address one, telephone. On the address tab, there is some address information. When I hit notes, you can see the associated notes tab. Then currently there is none. There is also map tab, but when I go back here, you can see that there is no latitude and longitude. So now let me put there some latitude and longitude. The map tab is refreshed only when I am opening the form. So what I need to do is close the form and now open it again. And now you can see that I have my competitor in here. It's somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea, I guess. Yeah, here next to Turkey, you can see that there is my competitor. Here is also the web or iframe tab. Now you can see that it's really showing the Google search for another bicycle company, which is basically one of the competitors, and this one, which I'm showing the form. And finally, I have here the signature tab where I can, you know, capture the signature without the need to go into the notes and create one. Actually, when I save this one and go onto the notes, you can see that there is actually some note created already or created automatically. And when I check the attachment, this is basically the signature, which I can find also on the signature tab. So I guess this is the standard customization which you would do. You would add an entity and you would create standard UI for it. One or more views and also the form with some, you know, associated entities or some special items like maps, iframes, and so on. So let's try a bit more advanced features or advanced UI customizations. And I will show you how to create a specialized notes view only for the competitor's form and not shown anywhere else. And even more, I will show you also how to create a filtered lookup. So basically, when you have a lookup for some, you know, field, in my case, it will be primary contact, I will be filtering the contacts which you can find on this view. So there is some, so this one, I guess, will be a bit more non-standard. So let me first start with the, yeah, with the notes view. So obviously, I have to start and create a new view for the notes. Again, I will start by cloning, and I will call this one competitors notes. Now I will use the type, because I don't want this to be public view, which is available throughout all the application. I will use the associated view type, which means that this view will be only available in the associated scenario. So in the scenario when this view is used on a tab on the form. Here, I will change the look just a bit. I will set the regarding field. I will put it here somewhere. I will even change the height of the row to 60. So let's to have some space for the regarding field. And I will put it like this. I don't really mind putting it, just put there some style like black. Okay, so this is my field, this is my view. I wanted to have it a slightly different look, so you will immediately see if it's using this view or not. But now, if I'm just gonna use this, this one, even though it's named competitors notes, would be used in every situation. So even in the situation where you are viewing the notes for, I don't know, an account or viewing the notes for a contact, there will be this view available. So now I will make this view hidden. So now it will be not available anywhere, even on the competitors. And then I will go back to the competitor form. It's saving, so let's give him a time. Okay. And here on the notes list, I will double click. And here I can select which views will be available. Currently, there is a default view available automatically, but I will make sure that only competitors' notes are available here. So now, here on the competitors, I should have a completely different view than there is for the other notes. So for the notes for the accounts or notes for the contacts, for example. Okay, let's publish. I'm hoping that we are not getting the network problems again. Okay, let's check. Okay, I think I will just switch to a different Wi-Fi and let's see if it's not gonna help. Let me try this one back again. This one was working so far. Okay, so let's try it now. So let's try that one. I should have the password here. I guess it's working for you? Okay, yeah. So let me connect. The password is Cortana 2013. Okay, whatever. Do we have access? We do. Let's see. Maybe I'll try restart the Bootford application. Maybe it's has lost the connection. Okay, let me start it. Again, we will see here. We'll try to switch the networks once again, and then I'm not sure what I'm gonna do if it's not gonna work. Yes, if I'm gonna be able to oh, yeah, okay, this one is working right now, so perfect. But this project even seems to be published, so yeah. So what I was doing, I was creating an associated view for the competitors' nodes, right? So that was the thing. Let's switch back to the iPad. So now when I sing here, application was updated. So let's check here on the accounts, for example. When I go into the nodes, create a new node. Yeah, this is how the list looks like. There is a node created and so on and so on. But when I go on to the competitors, and this is strange, and hit on the nodes, you can see that there is one more line showing the description, right? But that's actually not correct. It should be showing, what are you doing? It might be possible that there is something wrong with the project because of the connectivity issues. Let me check if we have here the setting. So the view which I have created was not saved. So let's do the customization once again. So again, I will need to create a new view for, let's call it like this, doesn't really matter. And let's put the regarding field. I will just quickly put it like this. Okay, save. Now let's back on the competitor and let's put it back here somewhere. It's the nodes list. So this one. Okay, yeah, now it worked. So let's sync. Okay, so now let's see. So on the competitors, you can see that there is a note. And now it's also showing the regarding field. But on the accounts, when I go here, I do not see the regarding field, right? So it's not showing. Okay, I will show you one more example, which is, I think, much more better to illustrate even this thing. And it's called it's for the primary contact. So for the account, we can have the primary contact field, which is here somewhere, primary contact. I will put this field on the form. Ah, sorry. Thanks. So again, I have the primary contact, and I can put it here. Right, so now I will be having it on the form. Let me show you very quickly what will happen right now when I'm... So shall I try the cable already?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it working for you?
Is this the one for you? Could you switch on the Wi-Fi again?
Mm-hmm. So let me check if the field was added as I wanted it to be. Okay, it seems fine, so let's publish. Okay, let's switch to the iPad and let's see what it means. When I have added the primary contact on the form as well, okay, so let's put the account here. When I click edit, you can see that you cannot see that. So it's not, I haven't put it on the form, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, it seems that when it loses connection, it does not store my last, you know, my last thing. So I have it added on the entity, but I haven't added it on the form. This was not saved, so let's try it again. Okay, so now let's hope everything will be there. Perfect, so now there is the primary contact, right? You can see it. When I click on the primary contact, you can see that there are all the contacts which are available in the system, right? So all the contacts. But when I go here on the bike store, I can see that there is already some contact associated with this bike store. I think another bicycle company or Astonishing Bikes, one of these guys have even two. Yeah, this one. So as you can see, there are some contacts associated with Amusing Bikes. And it might make sense that when I go here on the edit form and click on the primary contact, I can only choose from the contacts which are already associated to this account. And to filter this view, you can do this also with Woodforce. So I will do that. So first of all, I will go into the contact on the views, and I will create or clone the view, and I will create primary contact lookup. This time I will use the lookup view type, meaning that this one is used only on the lookups, and I will also make sure it's hidden, so it will not be available anywhere. I'm okay with the look of it. I want to change the filter because I want to filter the contacts which this view will be showing. And I will add a condition that parent customer of my contact needs to be equal to, and here I do a little trick. I will click here on set variable, and here I can see all the entities which can have lookup to a contact. There is an account, activity, and so on, and so on. And moreover, I see all the fields which can, which are ID fields from an account, because my condition here is on an ID field, right, parent customer. So here I see all the ID fields from an account. And I want the parent customer ID to be equal to account ID. So it will be equal to the account ID of the account which is showing the lookup. So let's save this, and on the account form, let's go here on the primary contact. Again, double click and make sure only primary contact lookup is used. And now let's hope the publish. Okay, perfect. So let's switch back. And synchronize. So let's see, which one was the one with two contacts? This one. Okay, so let's hit edit. And now when I select primary contact, you can see that I can only choose from these contacts which are already associated. Okay, so far so good. So far I was just, adjusting the UI, showing you that there might be possible even more that might seem at the first glance. So now let's take a look at the business logic, which I was mentioning, and basically it's the part where the form rules come into play. So I can see that we are running a bit late, so I will try to go a bit quicker and to show you as much as possible in the short time. So first of all, I will add a new field on the account. Again, I'm not on the right screen. And this one will be called Do Not Allow Emails. Okay, I will put this field also on the form, and let's put it here right next to the email. So I will just put it here. Here you can see that I have the rules section, where are basically three types of rules: onload, onchange, and onsave. I think that the names should be quite self-explanatory. So basically this one, onload, will trigger when the form is being loaded. OnChange is triggered when there is some change on one of the fields here on the form. And finally, OnSave gets triggered when the form is being saved. So I will start with the onLoad, and very quickly I will create a rule which will say that if on the entity there is said that the do not email equals do not allow, then I will add a step, meaning that something should happen, and I will set that on the form, the email address field should not be visible, right? Because when they should not email, then it should not be visible. And I will add also the opposite, that in the case that they could allow, then let's on the form on the email address one is visible assigned true, right? So very simple rule happening in the onLoad. So let's try it very quickly. Here on the accounts, let's check edit. This one has allow email, so let's change it to do not allow. Let's save and hit edit again. And now you can see that the email field is gone. This one has the email field, the do not allow email set to allow, so email field is visible. And here you can see it's not visible. Obviously, it would be much more useful when I would be clicking this that the email field would be showing and hiding. And obviously, you probably guess what I'm going to do next. I'm going to just cut this from the onLoad rule, and I will paste this into the onChange rule, right? So very quickly, I'm just making it in the onChange rule, making it happen in the onChange rule, not in the onLoad. So again, sync. Yeah. So now when I click on this, you can see that the email field is being shown or hidden depending on the value of the do not allow email field. So this is just showing and hiding. I will show you how to do a validation with the rules, which is, again, quite simple with the rules. So I can leave this one rule to be there, like I don't mind, but I want to add one more rule that. Please keep telling me this because I keep forgetting. Okay, so again, I want to show you. I have just this branch; it can live there. I don't really mind, and I will start once more. So I will add a new condition that if entity website URL does not start with www. Okay, I will add a step that on the form there is the website URL field, right? The difference between entity website URL and form website URL is that entity website URL holds the data, it's the data on this entity, but form website URL is the representation on the form, so it's just the UI element. It does not hold data, but it has fields like is visible, is enabled, and error message. An error message is the one which I'm interested in, so I'm gonna put here something like website must start with www. Okay, so if it does not start with www, I will set the error message for that field. And in the opposite case, I'm gonna set a step that this error message will be cleared. This is really important because if I would not clear the error message, in the good case, it will still be there and I could get not rid of it, even though I will put there www in the website. So let's switch back. Let's synchronize. And let's try this thing out. So edit. And now we have the website like www, okay. But when I delete this and go into some other field, you can see that now the website is highlighted with red. This actually means that there is some error message set for this item. So if an item has error message set, it will be shown or highlighted in red. And when I try to save this form, it will say the error message of the first item which is highlighted. So in this case is the website. Now, when I put www in there, my rule now says that the error message on that item is cleared, and I can even save the form. I had one more example of how to work with the rules. I had the onSave rule, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to show a very quick example of the offline HTML functionality, which I think is the most exciting part of all this. And basically, this means that you can add an HTML page, completely custom HTML page of yours, into the mobile CRM application. There are different areas where you can edit. You can edit on the form as one of the tabs, or even on the home form, like the where the dashboards are. You can put your custom item, which will then show your custom page. And the good thing about these pages is that they are not isolated. They are not just HTML pages showing something, but they can access the local database, for example. So you can have, or not even local database, but even in the online mode, they can access the entities and work with them. So basically you can execute fetch, you can create new entities, modify existing ones, and save them. So let's quickly show you an example how to do that. I will show you that I have here a package called www.zip with some of the files which I have prepared previously. This one is the RESTful JavaScript bridge, which is the most important file because it allows the interconnection of your JavaScript code and the RESTful mobile CRM application. This one is provided by us. You can download it and use it. I will show you the example of the page called account HTML, and I will open it. Where is it here? I will open it in Visual Studio because it offers some highlighting. And here you can see the HTML of this page. And it starts pretty standardly, just including the JavaScript bridge and some styles. Then it's creating some items like paragraphs and input elements. Here you can see that there is some first name, last name, email, where I can input these things. But the interesting part starts with the script, where basically I at first parse the incoming URL, and then I will construct a fetch for the account, where I get name, address line, city, telephone, and so on. I will make sure that this one is the fetch which I got from the URL, so this is the account I got from the URL, so I apply a filter, and finally I will execute the fetch. And when the fetch is executed and it returns something, I will set it to the account name, address, street, so the paragraphs which I have defined here. The second part was the input boxes, and these are then used to create a new contact. So basically I will create a new dynamic entity, I will fill there some fields, I get the input boxes like last name, first name, so on. I will set these to the properties of the contact, and I will call save on the dynamic entity. So what I have to do in Woodfort to make all this work, I will just have to import the package. Now it has been imported. And all I have to do now in the account form, I have to add an iframe. And instead of some online URL, I will write file, which means I'm accessing the offline HTML files. Account HTML, that's the name of the file which I want to show. And as I said, I have to put the account account ID as parameter. And that should be it. Yeah. I was wondering what looks strange. Okay, so now I have added this one on the account form. And now when I hit publish, this will mean that the offline HTML package will get included into the customization package which the Woodfort is creating. So now when I switch to the mobile application and we'll hit sync, this will mean that the mobile application will also download the not only, you know, the definition of the entity's UI, but also the HTML pages. And now they will be accessible within the application. So let's see. Now I hit edit. I click on the web. And here you can see that I have my HTML page. You know, the look of the HTML page, I don't really care. It can be adjusted. It really can contain pictures, whatever you guys want. But you can see that it really did load the advanced bike components from the local database. And interestingly enough, it should work just the same in the online mode. So from the JavaScript perspective, this one is absolutely transparent. So there is nothing else you need, no special cases for the online and offline mode. Then, okay, let's go back to the offline mode and let's see creating of the contact, right? So what I wanted to do here is I wanted to create a new contact. So let's call this one a test contact. Let's put there some email, something like this, and hit add contact. Now, a good thing, I have an alert that a new contact was generated. And let's see here. Yeah, it's on the very top. You can see that it really did access the local database, and it really did that. And I'm afraid that's it, because now it's already 4 o'clock. But what I wanted to say is that with the offline HTML, there is much more which you can do. You can even access the form, which is there, and modify its entities, create the on-change, on-save rules, as you did with Woodfort, but you can write there the JavaScript code. So you can, for example, do some computations, do some advanced validations, which might not be possible with the rules, and so on. So really, that one is really flexible, and it's really possible to do with the offline HTML. A lot of customizations which are really non-standard with the Woodfort tool. So I guess this will be it. Let me just quickly find the slides which are remaining. Okay. I wanted to show you a bit more about the offline HTML, but yeah, that's it. There is also a possibility to customize the images. Basically, all the images which you have seen within the application. Even you might have noticed that the competitors, when I have added them, they already had some icon. This was done because I already did some images customization and the icon was present. The good thing for you is that you can try even Woodfort for free. So I said there is the application which is completely free, and you can try Woodfort for 1 month also for free. Just go on our site, click on try it now, and you will see for yourself. You can start using it right away. I need to show you also the evaluation slide. I think, guys, you will not be so happy with me today because of all the problems. I do apologize for that, even though there was nothing I could do with it. So please evaluate if you feel like it. And that's all for me. Thank you very much.